holy ones, bright seraph, cherubim, and thrones.
Raise the glad strain, alleluia. Cry out dominions, princedoms, powers, virtues, archangels, angels, choirs. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen.
Amen.
Though there are many variations of Christians in the household of God who do not like Halloween for various reasons, I am firmly with minister and poet Steve Gardner Holmes, who says that Halloween is a day when we get it right. Strangers come to us beautiful, ugly, odd, or scary, and we accept them all without question, compliment them, treat them kindly, and give them good things. Why don't we always live like that? The question for this All Saints Day is, how can we live like that? How can we, with the writer of Revelation, live a life that resonates with the loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people. We will be his people. And God himself will be with us, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes. This past weekend, there was so much activity apart from costume parties. My son Daniel went out with a nonpartisan group to get out the vote, to knock on doors and have people, help people know what their voting plan is, and if they have a plan, remind them that voting is on Tuesday and the hours, and that early voting had ended. So they was a big group of people, and three young women, were kind of nervous. And you know how sometimes nervousness attracts what you're nervous about? But anyway, they were just nervous because in this day and age, knocking on doors can be an adventure. But they got to one house, and they felt pretty confident that they were going to be well received, because there were all these signs in the walkway and on the porch and around the door that said nice things like mi casa es su casa. You're all from Texas, you know what that means. My house is your house, right? And like other things saying God is good, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, welcome neighbor. So they felt pretty confident that they were gonna be well received. Again, though, they were nervous, and they've been trained to just knock once on the door, put the bag of information on the doorknob if nobody answered, and to walk away. So they did. They knocked once, and nobody came right away. So as they were leaving the little bag of information, the door suddenly opened, and this person who outwardly appeared as neighborly opened the door with a paring knife in their hand and started cursing these young women out and threatening to call the police. So instead of mi casa es su casa, it was more like mi casa definitely is not your house, right? No way. Now, I don't like people knocking on my door either, because it's usually right when I've sat down to eat a bowl of ice cream or to have a little nap or whatever. But don't be that person, right? Strive in your life and in these days ahead for some continuity, some integrity with our outward appearance, our outward proclamations, our outward professions, and our actual interactions with each other. so that we don't cause in any way tears to fall from the other's eyes, but rather confidence and hope that God dwells among us. A priest acquaintance in North Carolina wrote about his mother who had passed away, that her spirituality was most kindly described as eclectic. She might have been a witch, he said, and really, I'm not being derogatory, a good witch, but not, she didn't share my faith, but I loved her anyway. He said, early on after my mother died, at a church close by, they sang Gabriel Fauré's Requiem, the setting, which we'll sing here, sung tonight at 5:30. And he says, I don't know much about classical music, but I do know that Fauré's Requiem includes a change in the language which traditionally says, at one point, deliver the souls of all the faithful departed. To deliver the souls of the departed. And it is his prayer for his beloved mother that by subtraction, that prayer includes his mother. We don't have to be afraid of being too inclusive or generous when we pray for the souls of the departed or for each other. We are to pray passionately and abundantly, inclusively and warmly, for ourselves and for each other, those who are like us and those who are not. Today, the sister of Lazarus, Mary, addresses Jesus with the lament, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And the question for us today is, how many times has the Divine One wept with us? And the answer is many times. This friend, acquaintance in North Carolina wrote, untold numbers of people have died here, died as a result of the climate we have changed. And in this world, they die from the wars we wage, the poverty we impose, the disease we do not abate, and the indifference we maintain. But today, let us pray to deliver all of those souls. All of them were beloved, and they are beloved still. Jesus teaches us in the gospel today, the gospel for All Saints Sunday, that a love that connects even in death, brings forth both pain and joy. Jesus, the great healer, hurts at the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus wept. Jesus was incarnate, died, resurrected, and ascended into heaven, in large part so that we may not fear death. But he did not stop it from hurting when someone dies. That is part of our mortal condition. And today, on All Saints Sunday, we remember that though death is our destiny and death hurts, it is not to control our lives, and we are not to live in fear of it, that we are to live, die, and live a new life in Christ. Even his resurrection of Lazarus was for a temporal time on earth. Our human condition means that Lazarus would face death again. How soon, we do not know. The end of our mortal condition, death, hurts in so many ways. Yes, we know that death is but a horizon, and a horizon is nothing save the limits of our sight, but sometimes that limit seems so far away, and we weep for our losses and our loved ones. The reality of our death is not to control or intimidate our lives, to keep ourselves in fear, but rather to live a life of discipleship that is more closely aligned with God's purpose, to be passionate about our lives, for we know not how long we have, to be kind and compassionate with each other, for we know not how long we have, to transform the cruel instruments of death in our time, like Jesus did in his, and to overcome them because we know that God dwells with us here. We are to love gently and fiercely and completely, for that is our God-given purpose. The great historian Howard Zinn wrote, "To be hopeful in bad times is based on the fact that human history is not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act. And if we do act, in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents. And to live now, as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory." And he's not even Christian. And if he has that much hope, how could we have less than him? In the context of today's good news, of today's gospel, Jesus shows that in friendship with him, death, stench, pain are not as powerful as God's everlasting love. Let's remember that this week. No matter what happens, we will still have choices that we can make. We will still have choices to make. We will have a choice to put up signs that say, "Welcome." And yet when people knock, we open the door with a curse and menacing, or not. We will have the choice to feel part of a privileged few where love does not extend to those who aren't faithful, or not. We will have a choice to live in a world where we don't know our neighbors, or we can reach out. We will have a choice to let historians beat us at hope, or outdo them in our hope for this world in which God dwells. This All Saints Sunday, I contemplate the rising of Lazarus with a renewed commitment to love, to walk the way of love and friendship with Jesus, whatever it may cost and whatever it might bring. But there is no other way to be in communion with all the saints. That is the way of God in Christ, love and friendship. And courage. C.S. Lewis wrote, "How monotonously alike all the great tyrants and conquerors have been, how gloriously different are all the saints." And remember the verse of that song, but let's take it from singular to plural. And let's say today, and we want to be a saint too. I want to be one too. We want to be saints. And so let us pray with Bishop Stephen Charleston, Episcopal Bishop who is a citizen of the Choctaw Nation and a Native American elder who wrote a prayer for these times. When there is hate, I will love. When they curse, I will bless. When they hurt, I will heal. I am a servant of the light, but I am not afraid of the darkness. When there is division, I will unite. And when there is rage, I will calm. And when they deny, I will affirm. I will simply be who I am, for that is what Spirit created me to be. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen.